connected with the rebellion spirit that's always going to be there in any family situation, whether it's between two spouses or between parents and children, is also the idea of independence. And God's told us the illustration several times that mankind is the only creature that never wants to cut the apron strings. That with every other species on the planet, the birds get old enough and mama teaches them to fly and tosses them out of the nest. Maybe not literally, but that's the general idea. In the same way with foxes and elephants and bears and the rest of the animal kingdom, when the children get to the point where they're supposed to be on their own, then off they go. But mankind is the one species on this planet that ends up with a particular kind of evil spirit that doesn't want the kids to go. And it may not be that you don't want the kids to go, but there may be some sort of feeding that's gotten off of this being my child, or this is the one that I can control, and I don't want to let that go. So something's happening there. So that to some extent, when the rebellion is attached to this idea of independence, which the idea of independence in and of itself is not 100% bad. Of course, spirits get in and then want to make it into, well, I can do whatever I want to, whenever I want to, however I want to, and with whoever I want to, and you just don't have anything to say about it. Well, that gets into the evil spirit idea of it. But the basic concept of wanting to try the wings is something that God puts into even human species and that evil spirits try to prevent. So there will come those times when evil spirits in the grown-up side, well, no matter what the child suggests, it's always a no. You know, I want to do this on my own. Oh, no, I can do it better. Or no, you did it wrong. And no matter what's going on, there's always a no, you did it wrong, or no, that's a ridiculous idea. It's just always a constant no that you still quote a child when there's a lot of things that you just got to try your wings on in order to know what you need to learn for the next step. The basic family relationship, God gives us a scripture in the Old Testament too that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And God's talking about himself and Israel. And Israel wanted to go the opposite direction of where God wanted to go. So it's just like for us together. Two of us can't take a walk in the park if one of us wants to walk to Huntsville. You got to both have the same goal in mind in order to walk together and just be able to spend that time together. Well, God and Israel wanted to go two separate directions, and so they couldn't walk together or have their way of life together. So within the family unit, there needs to be some sort of a goal that will help surmount or help give us the desire to surmount all of the situations that come up to try to destroy whatever family unit that we're in. And it doesn't matter if that family unit is with children, is with a spouse, or with the church many-membered body-wise. You're always going to be in some sort of a family unit. There's very few people that end up feeling comfortable living on a desert island by themselves. That's just not the way that mankind is made. There always is going to be some sort of a family relationship going on, whether it's with a biological family or with a spiritual family. And so in order to make that family unit grow or stay together, there's going to have to be some sort of a goal. You both need to be going the same direction, or all 10 of you need to be going the same direction. And with God and Israel, it needed to be for Israel and God to get to, for the people to want to get to God. That had to be the direction that they were going. Well, in a Track 1 family, if the goal is to maintain the family unit, and for some people that is the goal in life, is to have a family, is to have a situation where the children are in the home and whatever else. You know, we're going to spend all of our life on family activities, whether it's sports or whether it's this or that. The whole family's overriding goal is to be a family. Well, that's going to help probably keep a family together. With other people, that in and of itself is not enough. And many of those people, that by itself is not enough, are sitting in this room. That individually, there's a need for something more. And so that something more that can keep whatever family unit we're talking about together is a desire to get our head clean and to get something good in our head. Good being God. And to be able to do God's will. If those are not only our individual goals, but the goals of other people in the family, then that desire for that is going to give us the desire or the impetus to help overcome all the different little things that come up. We've been given another phrase that says that home is the place where you're treated the best and you complain about the most. And that's just a fact. There is no other circumstance on the face of this planet where people are going to love you and care about you when you're sick, care about you when you're down, or want to help you out, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, financially, help you move here. There's no other situation on the face of this planet where that kind of love and care and concern is going to be able to be expressed. But at the same time, that's also the circumstance that evil spirits are going to want to complain about the most. Well, I wonder why. Well, it doesn't have to wander too far. If we want to complain about something, the idea is that you want to, number one, either change it all to my way of thinking, because of course I know best about everybody on the face of this planet and how their lives ought to be run. And you're not doing it like I think you ought to do it. Well, God calls that a self-right spirit. It's going to get mad when people do things like I don't think that you ought to do them. I'm going to get mad in order to change your mind so that you will do things like I want you to do them. Because if I throw enough of a fit, then you're going to stop doing it like you're doing it now and start doing it my way. And God calls that a self-right spirit. So that's one way that this interaction seems to play itself out in terms of complaining spirits. And the other idea is that if I complain enough, then I'm convincing myself thoroughly, very thoroughly, that everything is wrong, that nothing in my life is right, that I just don't want this, and so I'm going to continue to let these complaining thoughts work out, which is just what the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness and God trying to get them into Canaan land. No matter what God did, it was one complaint after the other. You know, we don't have this. And once God gave them that, well, then we're tired of that. We don't like that no more. We want this over here. And God gave them that. Well, then there was too much of that. They said that they didn't have food. Well, God sent them manna. And then, well, we don't have meat. So God sent them quail. And it was as far as the eye could see and clear up to their knees. You know, that wasn't any good either. And just one thing after the other, just always some sort of a complaint about what God was doing. And if we'll use discernment on our head, it'll be the same thing in our head, regardless of the situation that we're in. And this works whether it's in our job or our family or whatever. There's always something in our head that doesn't like the current situation. Well, God, through discernment, will try to teach us that what we're really unhappy about really doesn't have anything to do with the family or the job. That if underneath all that load of manure, there's a spirit that's basically unhappy with ourselves. That there's nothing in our life that will ever be right. There's not a person in the world that can make our life right. There's not a job in the world that can make our life right. There's not a car or a house or a clothes, you know, a dress or a pair of shoes. There's nothing in the world that can make our life right. As long as underneath all that, there's a spirit that says that we're wrong or we're bad. As long as that's there, nothing else can make us right. Except forget out that spirit that says that we're bad, that we're wrong, that we're dirty, that we're nasty. Getting that spirit out, and then God can give us contentment so that in whatever state we're in, we can be content with it. And so that particular line of thought in terms of the family unit, once we're able to see that it's ourself that the old man is unhappy with, you know, he says that we're not tall enough, or he says that we're not pretty enough, or he says that we don't have enough money. But basically it's good old self, us the entity, that spirit is unhappy with, then that is one that will try to have the eyes wander, as we said before. That will try to say, oh, this man over here will make my life complete. Or this family over here will make, you know, she's got more money, or he's got a better car, or he doesn't have children, or she doesn't have children. Whatever it is, it's always something looking out there to try to make our life complete. And God says, it'll never happen. It will just never happen. Until we get a hold of, as we heard earlier, when we're willing to give up our life for our friends, when that overriding desire is there for us to get our life right, for us to stop saying things and to stop doing things to destroy other people, if that's what we really want in life, then we'll do whatever we've got to do to get rid of that stuff. One of the things we're going to have to get rid of is that thought in our head that we are bad. And to get rid of that and really judge that thing out of our life, then God has something to work on. And there's no need to look for somebody else or something else outside of whatever family unit it is that we're talking about to make us happy. Because the happiness God can put inside our head.